always great having him on. A little catch up here. Nothing shy as far as the news cycle in the nation's capital these days. And here to help facilitate the conversation is the congressman out of the 1st Congressional. You know him well. His name is Nick LaLota. And he is nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a Wednesday morning. Very busy morning. Sir, good to have you as always.
Last day of May. Good to be on with you this Wednesday morning. Looking forward to our discussion about the debt deal and anything else you want to talk about, Jay.
Tell you one thing that's on my mind, Congressman. I can't understand the CUNY school system these days to allow, and I'm sure you might have seen that absolute venomous, hateful, any other verbiage you want to use to associate that disgrace of a situation. And I have not heard, by the way, this governor of the state of New York chime in on anything. I don't know where our world has gone, but to allow that garbage to be spewed is beyond comprehension. It really is beyond comprehension.
It's frustrating, Jay. Israel is America's strongest ally, and America is Israel's strongest ally. We share so many things in common, including a bunch of enemies who would want us both dead. I had the fortune to visit Jerusalem, Israel, just about 3 weeks ago. Got to meet with the prime minister, got to visit some of the holy sites, got to really solidify that bond between our Congress and their parliament. They call it a Knesset. And this is our strongest ally. And how in this CUNY system we've had folks pop off at commencement speeches being so anti-Semitic is a new low in the state of New York, in the city of New York. We need to figure out why it is that professors, administrators, deans, faculty, and everybody in between have allowed this environment to perpetuate in that CUNY district. Some of my colleagues are considering ceasing spending federal funds to schools like that who promote such anti-Semitism. It's something that we need to get to the bottom of, Jay, because their religious freedom is so important in this country. From a national defense perspective, our relationship with Israel is so important. And what's going on in some of these woke universities needs to stop, Jay.
Thrown her off the stage myself. And it's very alarming what happened to CUNY Law graduation, folks. Read about it. This individual, chosen, by the way, by fellow students, proclaimed the NYPD fascist. Insist the law is a manifestation of white supremacy. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable what we heard there. Anyway, let's move on here. You got the debt ceiling hurdle one passed last night. I think it was a 7-6 vote. Goes to the floor this morning, Congressman. There's a lot of backlash here. A lot of backlash. How do you sit with all that you've read and everything involved here with the this agreement? Go ahead, my friend.
Well, first off, Jay, you know, it's May 31st. I've been in Congress for a little more than 5 months. This is one of the few times, Jay, in my 5 or so months in Congress where I've actually had a bit of job satisfaction. I've actually felt like the vote I'm casting will become a law, and that law will do something better for New York, for Long Island, for New York, and for the country. The reality in which we live, Jay, is compromise is necessary. There's a Democrat in the White House. There's Democrats controlling the Senate. We're $31.8 trillion in debt. That's $94,000 for every American, 120% debt-to-GDP ratio. And if you rewind the clock, highest since World War II, but if you rewind the clock just a couple of months ago, when Speaker McCarthy was pounding the table saying, Mr. President, come to the negotiating table. Help me figure out this debt crisis that is burdening America, that is denying opportunity for our kids and grandkids. What was President Biden's response? I will not negotiate one penny. That we will not alter any sort of budgetary means in conjunction with raising the debt ceiling. No, hell no, I will not do it, said the president. And so did Chuck Schumer in the Senate. But for months, the speaker pounded the table louder, brought his case to the American public and said, we must, this is the moment in time where we must start to limit spending, put ourselves in a better trajectory to help our kids, help our grandkids, secure programs like Social Security, Medicare, VA spending, defense spending. We got China looming. They're our biggest threat. and we have to put our country on a better track. And for months, the speaker went at it, brought his case to the American public, and turned the poll. Recently, a Fox News poll and a CNN poll both said, one was 57, one was 60%, said Americans now agree that when you raise the debt ceiling, you should do things concurrently like limit spending. That was not heard of just a couple of months ago. House Republicans, under the speaker's leadership, brought that case to the American public, and we moved the needle. We moved the president off of this position that you could actually negotiate limitations in spending. And what we have here, by the way, not perfect. I'm not here to tell any of the audience that this is the perfect bill that's going to put our country, and this is the only thing that needs to be done, and we're good after this. Nope. This is a first step, Jay. This is the first step to a little bit of sanity. It cuts $2.1 trillion in spending. It reduces the 2024 deficit by $112 billion. That's the first step. But what we want here, Jay, is the public agreeing with Republicans that we need to make wiser decisions as a federal government to preserve the long-term health of our country. It's a necessary first step. House Republicans led the way. We think it's going to pass the House today. We think it'll pass the Senate tomorrow. It'll be signed by the president. It's a law that will be on the books that will have lasting impact. But it's only a first step. We got a lot more work to do, Jake.
Here's what I would say in a combative nature to this. The average Joe out there, Congressman, already knows of the recklessness that this administration has been through, thus the period we're in right now of inflation. You know, the famous words of the president, you know, somewhat transitory in nature, right? And of course, we're still in this pickle. So when the average Joe hears that the borrowing will be in play of an additional, what, $4 trillion, and they kind of look at the column as far as, okay, $4 trillion elevation, what do we get on the other side here? They're going to probably say, well, wait a minute now. How do we solve this if we are increasing the borrowing aspect of this whole situation? What would you say?
Well, the long-term solution is more conservative-minded folks in the Senate and the White House. You know, just like the border, which frustrates us a ton, Jay, you know, House Republicans can do a lot, bring the public's attention to issues like the border, like the debt. We can do things like trade off, raising the debt ceiling with limitations in spending, which, by the way, the last eight times Congress has raised the debt ceiling of three times under Trump, we didn't do anything about curbing spending. This is the first time in a hell of a while that we actually curb spending in conjunction with raising the debt ceiling. But if you really want to put the country on a better track, we need more fiscal conservatives in both the House and the Senate and the White House who appreciate this problem. Because right now in this town, House Republicans are the only ones rowing in the direction of putting the country on a better fiscal track. That's the cruel reality of where we live. We pushed some Senate Democrats. We pushed the White House to a position where much closer to ours. But until you get a larger amount of policymakers in Washington who appreciate the problem as we do, about $32 trillion in debt is just way too much, 120% debt to GDP ratio is way too much. Until you have more folks in this town who truly appreciate that and will make tough choices that benefit our kids and grandkids, we're gonna have to hit some singles and doubles until we get to that point in time. I realize limit, save, grow, the thing that the House Republicans passed a month ago, that was the home run ball. That was the, if you truly wanted to significantly impact today the trajectory of this country, the Senate should have and could have adopted limit, save, grow. The president should have signed it, but there simply wasn't 60 votes in the Senate for that, and the president would have never signed that. So we had to do the next best thing, hit a single, hit a double to get us on the right track. It's frustrating. I'm frustrated. I got three kids, as you know, Jay, who are going to inherit this great country of ours. And I want them to have as much opportunity, Jay, as you and I have had. And we got to put ourselves in a better track. But this is the first step in the political reality in which we live, where you have to get 60 votes in the Senate. You have to have a Democrat president sign off on it. This is a necessary first step towards making the country a little bit better, Jay.
Steph, we're talking with Congressman Nick Lotta, the first congressional. And I know you're trying hard, along with others, Nick, regarding the restoration of the SALT deduction. As far as in all of this stuff, what is the likelihood of incorporation of this in this?
So last night in the Rules Committee did what was called a closed rule, that despite there being 60 amendments proposed to be attached to the debt ceiling bill, the Rules Committee ruled that there will be no amendments considered to this bill. So SALT will not be, unfortunately, considered within the debt ceiling bill. That's unfortunate. Us New Yorkers, we want our SALT back. We need it back. We're a donor state, as you know, Jay. New York taxpayers send more to Washington than we get back. In fact, of the 50 states throughout the country, we have the 45th worst return on investment. For every dollar we send to Washington, we get a mere 93 cents back. We need to do better. One of the ways we can make that more fair is through this, getting our SALT, our state and local tax deduction back. I have a bill that would increase the amount that one can deduct from their federal taxes up to $60,000 if you're an individual, $120,000 if you're a married couple. That would fully make whole about 98% of Long Islanders, something that the Congress should pass, something I'm working a hell of a lot every day to get my colleagues to see it, how we Long Islanders see it. But it's not going to pass in conjunction with this debt ceiling because no amendments were allowed to be attached to this bill, Jay.
You know, listen, it's something that, you know, will be prevalent for a long time, and I know the fight will continue. Talking with Congressman LaLota. Congressman, I know you've not been immune to all this stuff regarding the so-called asylum seekers to our neck of the woods, the district that you preside over. We had the supervisor come out a couple of weeks ago of Riverhead, Vet Aguirre, and said, you don't want a state of emergency here. Be careful. You know, not in my town, not my neck of the woods, she said. County executive, you know, was kind of going along with the corporate line, party lines. No surprise there. In essence, huge problem. We just had the sheriff on of Suffolk County. He's keeping an eye on things. A problem when you can't vet people. You don't vet people properly, you don't know what you're getting. That's just part of the problem. But all in all, a huge situation right now flowing into our neck of the woods. What is the latest? We have not come out vehemently pointing to the direction of the problem. That being the mayor and the governor, who have done nothing to really kind of cite the fact, hey, Mr. President, we got a massive problem here. We need the aid. But why not put 42 back in place, meaning Title 40? You didn't hear that at all. But in essence, we got a massive problem, and it's a growing problem, Congressman.
It's frustrating, Jay. And you have to think about how we got here. Now, how do we get to a position where we had 1.2 million illegal folks cross the southern border, disappear into our country since President Biden has taken office? How do we get to the point where New York City's resources are overrun, resources that veterans rely on, homeless folks rely on, mentally challenged folks who are having substance abuse issues? How do we get to the point where New York City's resources are overrun? And to me, it comes down to leadership and discretion. Now, the president lacks leadership. Secretary Mayorkas lacks leadership at the border. Now, this is not the most difficult thing to do to secure a border between two countries. It starts with a physical barrier like walls and fences. It continues through technology like drones and other sensors. It follows with more personnel to help secure the border. But most of all, it requires leadership, a leader like Mayorkas, like the president, who can direct all of those resources in the right place, in the right manner. It's reinstituting Title 42 to say that while you have this pending asylum claim, you get to remain in Mexico. You shall remain in Mexico while you have this pending asylum claim from elsewhere in the world. These are all functional leadership issues, and it's exacerbated by cities like New York, who have these sanctuary city policies where they've advertised to the world, Jay, that, you know what, rules and laws don't matter. If you're in this country illegally or if you have a bogus pending asylum claim, we don't care. You're welcome in the five boroughs. And then, you know what, it acts as a magnet. It tells folks from across the border, hey, listen, I can get across that border easily. I can find myself in the five boroughs. I'll get the city services. And, you know, we'll see what happens 2 years later if and when my asylum claim is finally adjudicated. And, by the way, in that time, folks just disappear to the shadows in this country. They skip the line of of legal folks who are trying to get legitimate immigration to this country, either be through visa or through citizenship or both, trying to actually work a job that's on the books, pay our taxes, fold into our society. They're cheating those people out of the legitimacy of their own process. And then what happens after those city resources get overrun? The mayor throws his hands up and says, too much. I have to send folks out to Long Island, upstate, into Westchester, into other areas, the Hudson Valley, because I don't have enough resources because my sanctuary city policies attracted too many people. Well, you know what, Jay? You know, my dad taught me a saying, you break it, you bought it. And if you walked into a store and, you know, you had these clumsy elbows and you knocked something over and you broke it, you had to buy it. Well, the city's policies have promoted a broken immigration system. They should have to buy it. They shouldn't be able to export the issue to us. Unvetted male adults, who knows what sort of impact that will have on unvetted young adults in our communities, on our first responders, on our healthcare, on whatever else. Who knows what sort of, not only monetary response, but like public safety response. We don't know where these folks are from. We haven't vetted them. We don't understand what issues they are, if they love America, if they don't love America, and what that would cause them to do. And by the way, BS to the folks who say that Republicans are fear-mongering on this. We have a legitimate responsibility to protect our communities. That's the number one reason local government exists, is to protect our local communities. We have some of the finest law enforcement officers out there. We have taxpayers who legitimately want to just feel safe in their own homes, send their kids to school, going out in town shopping. It's a legitimate request for them to feel safe. And to have these unvetted young male adults sent to our communities is antithetical to that sole purpose, that primary purpose that local government has. They need to, Mayor Adams needs to, President Biden, Secretary Mayorkas needs to own this problem. Get it to stop. Secure that border right away, Jay. No more flow of folks in this country. And stop the sanctuary city policies that only exacerbate these issues. And certainly stop dumping them into communities who never chose either of those two, Jay. That's where we need to go from here, Jay.
You mentioned that fraud in Mayorkas. I literally get a sick feeling. The lies that he spews, my goodness, I don't know. It's unbelievable. And I'll tell you, the Fentanyl Act, in which, as a member you are, sir, of the House Homeland Security Committee, a yes to pass the bipartisan halt all lethal trafficking, the halt, ladies and gentlemen, of the Fentanyl Act. I mean, this kind of is a no-brainer here.
Number one cause of death, Jay, of folks between the ages of 18 and 45, 100,000 last year was fentanyl. It's the number one cause of death amongst young folks. It's being produced in China. It's being smuggled across our southern border. We need to put a stop to it. The federal government, especially when it crosses that southern border, has a responsibility to put a stop to it to help save American lives. And by the way, black, white, brown, north of the tracks, south of the tracks, suburbs, cities, doesn't matter, Jay. Fentanyl will find you. Fentanyl will kill you. It doesn't matter where you're from and who you are. And the federal government owes the responsibility to protect our citizens. And we did that through the Halt Fentanyl Act, giving local law enforcement more resources in order to eradicate fentanyl from our communities. But again, Jay, I hate to keep on beating this drum here. It starts with leadership out of the White House, and it certainly continues through the world's worst bureaucrat, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who is just obfuscating his responsibility to secure that southern border, to keep us safe, to keep those drugs out of our great country. We need a better leader in the Homeland Security Department to do that. I'm quite frustrated by his lack of candor, his lack of effort, his lack of results. And a lot of my colleagues and I on the Homeland Security Committee are quite frustrated by that. And we need to do better as a country, Jay.
And I know you're fighting. I know you're fighting on a daily basis, Congressman. But Mayorkas is the ultimate disaster of what's wrong in this country. The ultimate disaster. Sir, keep up the fight. We'll await results, debt ceiling, and everything else. Very important stuff as far as our country is concerned. And keep up the great fight.
Thanks a bunch, Jay. I'll talk to you again soon. Have a good rest of your May. See you in June, Jack.